Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's hilarious. Our new senior sports correspondent flew aboard.
I wish he was there during my Tinder date, because this is not the feedback I'm receiving.
Does the Third Reich come up at all at those moments when Tinder is an issue for you?
Every German history thing, of course, it's number one. They're like, were you a member of the Third Reich? And I said, listen, look at me. Yes, my skin is good. I have exfoliated. But look, I'm not 92. What's going on, people? Please. Wikipedia, guys.
It's fair.
That's what you asked, Speaks? Yeah. You went the direct line.
I'm uncomfortable. You know, my Jewish ancestors, and it's not Flula's fault.
Listen, I get it.
Flula, our audience loves you.
Thank you very much, guys. Go Bulls, go Bears, go Socky Dockies, and Black Hawks, everyone.
I'm sorry I asked him about the Holocaust.
If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
I agree. That was a
hell was a stat.
I couldn't get it out of my head, Danny.
And this really struck me, and probably the Jews, too, that it happened to, because
I just couldn't. We had that conversation the other day about having no artifice between yourself and the microphone. I'm just sitting here thinking, what were the ancestors doing?
I'll tell you, that's a very interesting story. Let me tell you, I was in a concentration camp. You never even suffered 1 minute in your life compared to what I went through.
Look, I'm saying we spent 42 days trying to survive. We had very little rations, no snacks.
Snacks.
One, two, three.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Parkins and Spiegel, on The Score. Excellent open by Chris Tannehill. I do have a follow-up question. Tanny, you've been making opens for many, many years.
Is that the first one about the Holocaust? Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the first time you've used the Schindler's List music?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So I just wanted to know, like, okay, that had to be rolled into the system new. Good job, Spiegs. We're breaking barriers here.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I went to see Schindler's List in the theater. I got to tell you, I just didn't think it was funny. You know, like, I was really looking forward to it. It just wasn't that funny. But I'm glad that the music could find its way into the open. Let's hope that's the last one I ever make Chris Tannehill play.
Well, it was just, listen, I understand what you're talking about. We're a couple of Jewish guys. He is a German guy. There is a shared history between our people. It's not that pleasant. But, like, I'm glad that you did it to Flula Borg and not my wife, who's German. I told Steph that story last night, and she's like, so Speaks going to just bring up the Holocaust around me going forward? I'm like, he just brings up the Holocaust to any German? I'm like, I don't know. That. It's a weird thing. At least he waited 15 minutes to bring it up. It was an odd turn. I think we can agree on that.
I think I told you once, a friend of my ex once got Ruben a present, and it was a little ambulance, a little like remote control ambulance, and he would turn it on and it would go, just freaked the hell out of me. Would not let that thing live in the house.
You gotta get over it, man. You gotta get over it. It had been going so well with Flula Borg. But yeah, I mean,
I'll never get over Macho Grande. Okay, Danny, right. Never.
All right.
Never was.
But, man, what a start. I am enjoying my saxophone names, by the way. Yeah, I figured that was common, faking it. Did you never – it was like the equivalent of cheating on a math test or something like that in school. I cheated on the band performance. I faked my way through the band performance, and then I got out of there. That was how I looked at it.
What's unique about it, though, is even if you cheat on the math test, you need to actually write something down as an answer and hand
That's
it
true.
In. This That's is true. Unique in that you can just simply not participate at all. And depending on the attention level of the instructor, do just fine. That is a unique thing. It really is.
Yeah, it was.
I was trying to think of the sports equivalent all during that transition. That's why I went with tug of war. But there's really nothing. Is it the offensive lineman who doesn't really know his job but sticks around next to the other guy? No, like you have a task that you have to perform. I don't think there is a sports equivalent where you just simply opt out and let everyone else do it for you.
Yeah, and let me be clear. Like, I could get tunes or tones, whatever they are, to come out of the saxophone keys or buttons. Like, I could make it happen, but then it was concert time, and I'm like, whew, the concert was the problem. So in class, hey, play this note, play this song. I would do it, but, like, it had gotten too complicated, man. And then the stage fright and the parents and not wanting to mess it up for everybody, I was – tapped out. Hit the eject button.
I think
over.
You did the right thing.
I really
think you do. I think you did a service for all of your musical compatriots and the band director and everybody in attendance as well. So
thank you
for your contribution to the musical world right there.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And then I just focused on my rap career. We have a new quarterback to mention and throw into the mix here. And we've got a cool guest coming on in a couple minutes, but also at 3 o'clock. Ayo Dosunmu is going to be on the show at 3. He, quite simply, might be the best player in college basketball this year. He's definitely the best player on the Illini, and he's got an amazing story, and he's going to join us at 3 o'clock, and we are very excited for that. But Mark Melusis, who does the midday show on WFAN in New York, is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. And the reason for that is because there's a new name that I guess we need to focus on a little bit for the Bears at quarterback, because Field Yates, NFL reporter and insider for ESPN, he did his little quarterback carousel. And is there audio of this, Tanny? I already forgot. I apologize. Short-term memory.
You're on a hot streak. Yes, there is.
3 days in a row. Okay, 3 days in a row of me messing something up. This time, at least I did it early, so I can't even claim I'm throwing a perfect game.
Yeah,
here's the name that Field Yates says we got to talk about for the Bears.
The Chicago Bears were actually the last team that I filled in this exercise, and I gave them Sam Darnold, which of course means something for the Jets we'll discuss in just a little bit. But the Bears, in my exercise, do not trade for Carson Wentz. They need to make a quarterback move. Darnold needs a change of scenery in a major way. He's just 23 years old. Perhaps Matt Nagy believes he can be the player many thought he would be when he came out of USC. And if Sam Darnold is now a Chicago Bear, that means that somebody else is now a New York Jet.
Sam Darnold for the Chicago Bears. Your first reaction?
Well, it is a post-Carson Wentz to the Colts world. So it makes all the sense in the world that here we are moving on to somebody else. And I am intrigued. Color me intrigued, because I think it's probably too early to call him a lost cause and a finished product. And also, the notorious Jets dysfunction could absolutely be obscuring the possibilities in Sam Darnold. So on the face of it, I'm intrigued, but I have not done any of the deep dives that we've done into Carson Wentz over these past couple of weeks, and that's why we will start with our next guest, right?
Yeah, so my impression on Sam Darnold, and a guy on Twitch says, oh great, weeks and weeks of Sam Darnold talk. I promise that it won't be that, because while who the quarterback of the Bears is going to be a huge offseason storyline, I think this is about to slow down. Like, I think the Carson Wentz situation was clearly imminent because of the breakup with him and Philly. But I think that a lot of this is going to slow down until NFL draft day and closer to the draft as teams position in that way. And so that's in April. So there's only so many quarterbacks that we can talk about between now and then. And so we'll get a little bit of a primer on Sam Darnold because it was in the news from the ESPN report. But I actually, at this point, I think we're going to be weeks and weeks, if not a couple of months away from finding out who's likely to be the starting quarterback for the Bears.
That's interesting because, you know, you've got Gardner Minshew on the Jaguars and Sam Darnold on the Jets and Tua Tagovailoa on the Dolphins, and those are your top three picks in the draft. So if people get feisty and want to trade up in there, it's in those teams' best interest to hold on and wait as long as possible. So that makes sense in leading up to the draft. I guess the only other factor is if teams like the Raiders or the Texans get aggressive about doing things that they might do with their quarterbacks.
There's this rule to keep in mind. You can only trade draft picks 3 years into the future in the NFL. So except for one day of the year. On the day of the NFL draft, you can actually trade four first-round picks because you can trade your pick that year and then 3 years into the future. So in theory, the Jets on draft day could trade to the Texans the second pick in the draft and three future first-round picks.
Well, it is draft day.
So if Houston is going to trade Deshaun Watson, and every indication is so far that they're not going to, but if they're going to trade him, the best offers they can get actually will be on a very specific day. And I don't know which day in April it is. But whatever day in April the first round of the draft is, that's the day when Houston can get the most for Deshaun Watson. My thing on Sam Darnold is at least he has some upside. He was with Adam Gase. They were the least talented team in the NFL last year. Even though Jacksonville ended up getting the number one pick, he had nothing around him. But he has not shown a higher production ceiling than Mitch Trubisky. Sam Darnold has never played 16 games in a season. He's never had 20 touchdowns in a season, and he's had double-digit interceptions in every season. So Sam Darnold, there is some reason to believe he's better than Mitch, and there's some reason to believe he's not. Like, he was the third pick in 2018. Mitch was the second pick in 2017. It's in no way, shape, or form, based on production on the field in the NFL, is Sam Darnold an upgrade over Mitch, like I was able to argue Carson Wentz was, right? Like, Carson Wentz has three seasons of body of work that are better than anything Mitch Trubisky had ever done. Sam Darnold has zero seasons better than any season Mitch Trubisky's ever done.
Yeah, it actually makes more sense if you're thinking long-term, like, this guy's still on a rookie contract, let's see if there's something there, and then you've gotten in on the front side with a chance to extend into the next couple of years, as opposed to a somewhat more sure thing to take advantage of what seems to be 1 year for Pace and Nagy to prove it to ownership that they have to do something.
Yeah, Sam Darnold is still a project and a prospect because he was in a broken situation in New York with no – I mean, Jameson Crowder is probably the best receiver he's ever had to throw to. So there's we'll talk to Mark Melusis about it, and he knows, and he covers it very closely. But that's a name that, frankly, doesn't do a lot for me because I don't think he's ready to have a monster year this upcoming year, and I think it's what the Bears need. But is there something to salvage in Sam Darnold? We go to New York with Mark Melusis next on The Score.
Seeing ghosts.
That's not good. And you already said they're going to keep bringing it. I would, too.
No. And they are.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No.
That concludes the portion for George and Ted. Thank you both for your time.
Yeah, that about sums it up. Welcome back. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. Ayo Dosunmu will join us at 3 o'clock. Our next guest apparently just is going to work all day, and we greatly appreciate it because we need a little bit of insight into exactly what it is Sam Darnold might be bringing to the Bears, as ESPN linked him as a possible landing spot between the Bears and Sam Darnold. Mark Melusis hosts the Midday Show on WFAN in New York with Maggie Gray. This afternoon, he's hosting You Better You Bet, in for our mutual friend Nick Costos, and he's joining us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Moose, what's up, man? Thanks for the time on a busy day.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're good. We're moving from, I believe, the second worst quarterback last year, who now is a member of the Colts, to the worst quarterback last year. Sam Darnold, 35th out of 35 qualifying quarterbacks, Danny. So that's our next target, right? Makes all the sense in the world.
We're very excited, Moose. Is there give us what you think Chicagoans need to know about this current Sam Darnold.
Well, listen, I'll tell you. Okay, let's just talk about his personality. Number one is he's not been given a good hand here in New York with the Jets, right? He was better year one when Todd Bowles was here and in a West Coast style of offense than he was the last 2 years with Adam Gase and that offense. The offensive line has been putrid in front of him. He has not been given many weapons to speak of on the outside. We've been waiting for Chris Herndon to develop. His best target has been Jamison Crowder. His best target, you know, a couple years ago was Robbie Anderson, who Joe Douglas misread the market and let him sign with the Carolina Panthers to reignite and reengage once again with his college coach and Matt Rhule down there in Carolina. So he's not really been given all that much here in New York. Now, he was raw coming out of USC. There's things that he does very, very well. He can throw on the run. He's got a good arm. He can make all the throws. He's athletic. He doesn't necessarily need the cleanest of pockets, but the same issues that he had at USC being turnover prone have been an issue here in New York. And I think it's also a sign of maybe a young quarterback trying to do a little bit too much. Now, with all of that, and listen, he's not been good. So I'm not going to tell you that Sam Darnold is not to blame. He steps on the field. He puts the big boy pants on. So Sam Darnold has not played particularly well. He's not been supported here in New York all that much. The coaching staff the last 2 years has been a disaster, and there's not much around him. I think arguably the Jets have the worst roster in the National Football League. With that, though, he's handled everything brilliantly. There is no thin skin to Sam Darnold. He's not bat an eyelid. He's never criticized the organization. He's never criticized a teammate. I think there's something to be said, and there's a lot of former Jets here in the tri-state area that do applaud Sam Darnold for the way that he's handled the past couple of years now as a professional. So there's something to be said for that, but you look at him statistically speaking, I understand if you're a Chicago Bear fan right now listening to the sound of my voice, you're saying, well, why am I going to get excited about Sam Darnold? I think he's better than Trubisky. I know that's not saying much, and I also think there's a level to Sam Darnold as a quarterback that he will reach, whether it be here in New York or whether it be someplace else that he is yet to reach.
That's what I'm interested in. What is the ceiling of Sam Darnold? Because I think the Bears are going to make a move for a guy who they think has a high ceiling.
Yeah, I think Darnold can be. Now, are we looking at a top five quarterback? Do I think that Sam Darnold's going to be Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes? No, I don't think that. But I do think Sam Darnold, if you give him a solid offensive line, if you give him a good ground game, if you give him, you know, and if you give him decent enough weapons, I think Sam Darnold's going to be a winning quarterback in the National Football League, can get your team to the playoffs, and can be a winner. Listen, I don't think his performance in the Rose Bowl against Penn State when he was at USC, I don't think that's an outlier, and that's really kind of how he stamped himself as a collegiate star, because after that performance that night, everyone thought Sam Darnold was going to be an absolute stud in the National Football League, and after year one, mind you, guys, there was no question here in New York that the Jets had their franchise quarterback. The last 2 years has been an absolute nightmare. But after year one, there wasn't a clamoring, did we get it right? Do we need to address the quarterback spot? After year one, you ask Jet fans that watched him play after year one, and they're going to say, you know what? Even though he wasn't healthy the entire year, we believe in Sam Darnold. He's our guy. We have found our quarterback. And then the last 2 years have happened.
See, that's what's so interesting. It's so much about fit in the NFL and how coaching scheme works with the talent. And we've watched Matt Nagy try to force Mitch Trubisky into his dream Patrick Mahomes hole of, looking deep and then coming back and doing those kind of like freewheeling things. And then they simplified and went to a more Kyle Shanahan sort of run the ball and play action and single read patterns and stuff like that. Does Sam Darnold need it dumbed down like that? Or is he capable of thinking about more and making better decisions with multiple things to look at and think about?
Well, I think if you stick anybody outside of Patrick Mahomes in a Mahomes-style offense, I think you're going to say, well, he's not Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, so that's it. So I'm not going to tell you that he's as gifted as that, but I don't think you need to, quote-unquote, dumb it down for Sam Darnold. I don't. I think he's a smart quarterback. I think, unfortunately, he's not been particularly well coached. And like I mentioned, you know, he's never had a wide receiver that Trubisky's had out there in Chicago like an Allen Robinson. He's never had it. I mean, he's never really had that caliber of player to play with, right? And when he had one that was probably a couple notches below in Robbie Anderson, they let him walk out the door in free agency. So I think Sam's a smart guy. So I would not be concerned about him coming out and saying, oh, we've got to split the field, or he can only read one side, or we've got to make sure to get the ball out of his hands quick because the game's a little bit too fast. Well, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I do know this. He needs a line in front of him. I think we all saw that in the Super Bowl. I think Sam Darnold, a lot of his issues where he's rushed some throws has to do with the fact of up until this year, and the Jets' offensive line was better this year, has been an absolute disaster.
Mark Melusis from The Fan in New York is our guest talking about Sam Darnold, who ESPN floated as a potential target now for the Bears that they missed out on Carson Wentz. You mentioned if he doesn't reach his potential in New York, as if it's not a guarantee that the Jets are trading him. What do you think the likelihood is that the Jets trade him? And two-part question, what would it cost to get him?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great question, Andy. I think right now you look at it, I think the Jets don't want to take themselves out of Deshaun Watson. So that's the big domino that needs to fall. I think everybody outside of maybe 7 or 8 NFL cities are saying, oh, what could we give to get Deshaun Watson? Because even though the Texans have told you they're not trading him right now, a lot of people believe that it's just a matter of when, not if Deshaun Watson gets moved. So I think there's a trickle-down effect. I think you look at, okay, I would make the argument that if you don't get Deshaun Watson, you keep Sam Darnold here in New York, that you're not addressing the quarterback with the second overall pick. But if you do trade for Deshaun Watson, and it does happen to happen before the NFL draft, I think then Sam Darnold's going to be paired off. Obviously, he's not going to remain here, and then he moves. Because I don't know right now if the Jets are looking at whether it be Zach Wilson or whether it be Fields coming out of Ohio State and say, well, we're willing to restart everything with either of those two quarterbacks, because those two quarterbacks grade out similarly to what Sam Darnold was coming out of USC. So the likelihood of getting traded, tell me where Watson is, come NFL draft time, because I think that's going to be a big key here for the Jets, because I'm of the belief that if he does not get moved and the Jets don't acquire him, I think Sam Darnold ends up here in New York. Now, if you're saying, okay, that does happen, Sam Darnold's going to get moved, you look at what the Eagles got back for Carson Wentz, a little bit different because they took a $33 million cap hit and they gave up they're getting a third round pick and a second round pick that could become a one based on playing time and playoff appearances. You know, I know there's some people here in New York thought you could get a first round pick for Sam Darnold. I never thought you could get that because I fully admit he's a depreciated asset. I think you're probably looking at maybe the high water mark being a second round pick and maybe a third round pick, not a combination of those, of two of them. I think it might be a third, 3 and a 4 or 2 and a 4, something like that, in order to get Sam Darnold. They think that's probably realistic. I don't think anybody's going to give you a 1 for him.
Yeah, you look at what Josh Rosen got the Arizona Cardinals when they decided to move on from him and go to Kyler Murray. They got a 2 from the Dolphins and a 5. So a 5 the next year. So a 2 and a 5 for Josh Rosen. But I think Sam Darnold has a better reputation around the league than Josh Rosen did at that time. So, but maybe not much.
But less
better.
less time left on his contract, though. They traded.
Well, yeah,
Rosen.
And that's the other big factor, and that's the other thing that comes into play for the Jets here in New York, which has been a talking point. Is, and you went through this with Trubisky, is do you pick up that 50-year option, right? What do you do if do you gamble on the fourth year? If it doesn't work, well, if it works, you got to pay him. And if it doesn't work, then obviously you learn from your mistake and you move on as an organization. So I do think that hurts the value you get back in return because of his contract being in the immediacy as compared to, say, a Rosen, who they paired off after his rookie year.
Moose, the Jets have, what, 4 first-rounders in the next 3 years? Is that correct?
Yeah, they have 9 picks in the first 3 rounds of the next 2 drafts.
Wow. Okay, But they have an extra first, right?
They have an extra first. They have Seattle's first this year, Seattle's first next year.
Okay, so would you sign off? Because my stance on trading Deshaun Watson has been that no trade offer that I've seen floated in the media is close, but that the team that can actually make the best offer is the Jets because of those 5 first-round picks that they have over the yep. next 3 years, plus one of them being the second overall pick. Plus, if you traded it on draft night, you could go 1 year into the future. Would you sign off on all five first-round picks, Sam Darnold, Quinnen Williams, for Deshaun Watson?
Would I sign off on that? I probably would. Am I crazy to sign off on that?
No,
because you're getting a 25-year-old quarterback for the next 12 years. That's a top five quarterback in the sport. Now, it's a lot, and you're right, and I think you're probably beating around the bush about what it's going to cost you to get Deshaun Watson. I would probably still do that deal.
Yeah, and obviously you would want, like, Deshaun would have to sign off on it. Like, we don't know if he really wants to come to New York. There's been conflicting stuff around that. But I think that if the Texans are crazy enough to trade him, that's what we're talking. If Matt Stafford can get you two firsts,
right,
and Laremy Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey and Khalil Mack and those guys can get you two firsts, it ain't three firsts for Deshaun Watson. It's four or five firsts for Deshaun Watson and then probably another asset or two. And so, like, I think your team, the Jets, not that they're your team, but I think the Jets are uniquely positioned if he actually comes onto the market to offer more than anybody else.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you. Now it comes down to timeline because you have to make that deal before the draft. Do the Texans as an organization want to make that deal before the draft? And do they like one of those young quarterbacks, say if Darnold's not part of it? But I'd probably agree with you. It's going to take that much, and we all understand. I mean, you guys know this in Chicago, but anybody, how important the quarterback position is. You can have everything else. If your quarterback stinks or he's very hit and miss, you're not really going anywhere. And the Jets have been clamoring for a quarterback, and this is not Brett Favre at the end of his career. This is a guy that's the real deal outside of what's going on in Houston, is an absolute good young man. Everybody loves to be around Deshaun Watson. Great representation for the franchise. So if I'm Joe Douglas, I'd be willing to do that. Now, for Douglas, though, is he that kind of a gambler? That's the other thing, because Joe Douglas's reputation has been evaluating young talent, evaluating college talent, and making great use of the draft.
So when we talk quarterbacks and a quarterback-starved fan base here, guys will bring up, maybe Jay Cutler wasn't actually that bad, or I miss Eric Kramer, or that kind of thing. What comes up there, like the Vinny Testaverde years, or Richard Todd, or even Ken O'Brien? Like, what do people look back on most fondly if you're Jets fans? Not a great quarterback lineage since Namath.
Well, I think people think about the butt fumble with Mark Sanchez as of late. I mean, running into the rear end of his offensive lineman, then fumbling the football against the New England Patriots. I liked Ken O'Brien growing up. I liked him throwing those touchdown passes to Wesley Walker. Altoon was a hell of a wide receiver. I mean, I do. Those were bad days. Boomer gets his chops busted here on WFAN locally here in New York about being a Jet quarterback and getting knocked out cold by Bruce Smith up there in Buffalo because his offensive lineman didn't move on a particular snap. So I think right now Jet fans, when they think about bad quarterback play, they think about the butt fumble with Mark Sanchez. I think that's the first thing that comes to the top of the list.
Mark Malusis from The Fan in New York. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
Danny, Matt, thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely. You as well. The best college basketball player in the country joins us in 10 minutes. We're back well before that on The Score. Thanks to Mark Malusis. It's Parkins and Spiegel. People said that I said Danny Mac. That was Malusis saying Danny Matt. Thank you.
Yes.
So I have not slipped up yet on that. I'm sure it'll happen eventually. But I'm really looking forward to our next guest, Speaks. Ayo Dosunmu, is junior for Illinois, averaging 21-6-5, in the running for Big Ten Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, a Chicago kid who stayed home. And he's got a great story, so I'm really looking forward to talking to him.
He's got an incredible story, and he's been unbelievably great in the clutch his entire career as a shooter. It's ridiculous. We'll give him some of the numbers and ask why he's so, so good at the end of games as part of the conversation.
Ayo Dosunmu joins us next. I'm very much looking forward to this. He's coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.